Welcome to Carrie L's Heartling Show. I'm Carrie L. Quinley, and I'm the host of the show. And just take in a nice deep breath now and relax. And allow the sacred love to flow through you now. Good things are coming your way. And the blessing of the day is from the Gayatri Prayer. Let us focus on that effulgent light from which the whole universe is projected. May this inner sun enlighten our minds. And may we awaken as that light. I am excited today because I have one of my favorite people as a guest. And that's the beauty of having a radio show of your own. You can invite who you want. And she is an incredible woman who is an expert in a number of things. Specifically interesting to me is the crop circles. And she has co-authored a wonderful book. And we are going to invite her on to speak about also her new book that's coming out as well. So, and let me just explain that she is also a licensed marriage and family therapist, as well as a certified hypnotherapist and regression therapist. So here is my good friend Barbara Lamb. Welcome.
Hello, Carrie L.
How are you?
Very nice to be talking to you.
What?
Very nice to be talking to you.
Well, you know, like I say, it's such a privilege to have these incredible people on, and you are one of them. And
well, thank you.
I know you've been a busy bee, and why don't you share with us what your latest project is?
Okay, well, I'm continuing with my psychotherapy practice and my hypnosis practice, which includes regression therapy, and also a project that has come out of that and that's very exciting to me is that I am co-authoring a book called Alien Experiences. And this is book one. We hope to have more to follow on. This book is co-authored with a wonderful woman named Nadine Lalich. So it's Barbara Lamb and Nadine Lalich. And Alien Experiences book is of 50 cases of close encounter with extraterrestrial beings that some of my clients have had, because I've actually regressed more than 550 different individuals to experiences that they have had with extraterrestrial beings. So out of that work, there is so much interesting information of a real wide variety of things that people are experiencing with these alien beings.
Well, can you speak up a bit, Barbara? It's hard to hear on this end. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
You can?
I can. Yes, I am able to.
Okay, wonderful. And you just mentioned the magic word, alien beings. What do you see going on with that?
Well, the subject of alien beings is very, very complex, because it seems like there are so many different kinds of beings that actually come briefly to Earth and interact with certain people. So some of them seem to be beings that probably come from other planets in the universe, as far as we can tell. And some of these beings may be interdimensional beings. In other words, they may not be as densely physical as we are.
I agree.
But they may come from other dimensions of reality, which we're beginning to learn more and more about. Even according to modern physics, the physicists say that there are definitely known now to be various dimensions of reality. And each one seems to be vibrating on a different frequency. So the ones that are vibrating on a slower frequency, which is closer to the frequency that we human beings are vibrating on when we're alive and living in a human body, those beings seem to be more physical and more solid, the way that we experience ourselves as being more solid. But some of the beings that seem to come from, maybe we could call them higher dimensions, they seem to be vibrating at a faster frequency and seem to be, from our point of view, more ethereal or less densely physical. But they're very intelligent and they're very real, nevertheless.
Have you met any?
I have. I have met three that I'm aware of. That is, I've had three different occasions when it certainly seems to me to be completely real that I did meet up with certain extraterrestrial beings. And one of them, by the way, happened in 1994, the first one that I'm aware of. And I was in England doing my annual research on crop circles. And I had been asking in my mind, and even asking out loud, that if it would suit the beings that do come and make the crop circles in the fields of England, I would love to be taken with them one night and witness the making of a crop circle. So in August of 1994, that actually happened.
Wow.
And I was aware of the beginning of the experience, and then that was all. I was just aware of a few moments. But then after I came home again, back to Southern California where I live, I had a colleague who does regression therapy. I had her regress me to that night and to those first few moments that I was aware of, that three beings seemed to be approaching me in my bedroom when I was in bed just ready to fall asleep. And what came out in that regression is that the three beings did come, and they lifted me up out of the bed. They sort of levitated me out, which is very typical of these experiences, levitated me up through the corner where the wall meets the ceiling, and out through the roof of the inn that I was staying in at the time.
And you were actually conscious the whole time?
No, I wasn't. This is the material that came out during the regression.
Oh,
and, so the material went on. I kept reliving this. It certainly seemed to me that I was then sort of floated into a small, roundish craft, maybe more like a disc-shaped craft, and then put it in a seat and sort of buckled in, like with a seatbelt type of thing. And there were two beings in front of me who were operating or driving this vehicle in the air, in the sky. And we traveled very quickly to what seemed to be a different location. And then they sent down some sort of force that I could hear from the middle of this craft, which was right near where I was seated. And it sort of went swoosh, and then another series of swooshes, and then it seemed like we went whizzing around in a circle. And then they headed back to the direction that we had come from. And that seemed to be the end of what I could recall in the regression. Well, Carrie L., the very next day, this is still all these years later, so exciting to me, because the very next day, we were about 45 minutes drive away from where I was staying in Salisbury, England, and we were just approaching the wonderful town of Avebury in Wiltshire County, where, as you know, there are two big circles of ancient, huge megalithic stones.
Powerful.
A very special, as you know, very special sacred site. And as we approached Avebury, I was on the top deck of a double-decker bus. And I looked out over a field, and I saw an indentation in the beautiful wheat crop that was there. And I thought, we had been there yesterday, and there was no indentation in that field, so maybe it's a new crop circle. So it turned out that it was a new crop circle, and when we got out of the bus at Avebury, three friends and I went rushing back to that field and walking in through the tractor track, as we always do, so we don't trample down any crop, and we went into it. And it was a beautiful crop circle with 13 circles, one smaller than the next one. And they formed a ring. And then around the formation was a separate ring. And later, after I had the regression, I realized that, oh, this corresponded with those swooshing sounds that I had heard on the small craft. So that must have been the making of this particular crop circle.
So you actually heard that swooshing sound?
Yes.
While you were in it, or?
Yeah, when I was in the small craft, I was sitting fairly near the center of the craft. And from the floor, or I should say the bottom side of this craft, right about where I was sitting, it was as if there was a great big spray, or almost like a water hose sound similar to that, or an air hose, where there was a big sound of something coming out from the bottom of this craft down to the ground. So I think that that was some force. I don't know what the force was.
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? What are they using to create that?
It certainly is a question, and nobody really knows, but, you know, the scientists who've done a lot of work on the crop circles, it's wonderful what they've done, because they've done a lot of testing of plants. They have samples that people pack up and send to them, and they realize that there can be 17 biological, or we'll say biophysical, changes to the plants that are affected by a crop circle being made there in that part of the crop. And also the scientists determined that there is up to 800 degrees Fahrenheit of temperature that is somehow coming down to the crop from the air and swirling the crop around without damaging it. It's so amazing. They don't burn it.
It's so hot, it actually turns the soil to glass in some occasions.
In some cases, yes, and in some cases there are little speckles of magnetic particles. And even with that huge heat, 800 degrees Fahrenheit that I'm mentioning, that the plants are mysteriously not burned, charred, stomped, crushed, broken. They're perfect. They're just perfectly bent over and laid down and so often swirled into a perfect circle or swirled into many different designs.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Carrie L., as well as anybody, because you've been researching this yourself in England, with me too sometimes, we've had great adventures together.
Yeah, we've had
together.
Really great times.
We have. And you know that there's a huge variety of patterns that are made by this process somehow. And the patterns are really astonishing. And every year there are different patterns. So that keeps us interested. Those of us who are fascinated with this phenomenon just think every year in the winter, oh, I hope the crop circles will happen again this year. Because, of course, we have no guarantee.
They really do happen every year. It's astounding that the process continues.
It is amazing, and we have no guarantee that that will continue to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, every year it seems so precious.
Well, I just want to mention the name of your book, Crop Circles Revealed.
Yes, thank you.
And that's by Judith Moore and Barbara Lamb.
That's right.
And Barbara, you know Simeon Hines, he has complimented you, and he has written a little review here. I'm going to read it.
Oh.
It's the Bible of crop circles.
Oh, wonderful.
It is one of the most comprehensive and complete books published on the phenomenon. The authors go to great lengths to cover just about every aspect of the subject matter, beautifully illustrated with color photos and original line art. The book is an outstanding blend of research, creative interpretation, and energetic divination.
Wow.
So the reader can certainly go away with a new appreciation for the crop circles and the forces that create them. Isn't that great?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, you really, you know, I love your work, as you know. And
thank you.
I've been kind of a fan for a long time. I continue to watch you and just grow phenomenally. Your next book that's coming out, when can we purchase that?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, the Alien Experiences book is coming out. Well, we plan for it to be out by the end of this December 2007.
Great.
And if you want more information on that, someone could easily find out more and find out a way to order it also. You'd go to the website, www.alienexperiences.com. Alienexperiences.com. I just repeated
Wonderful.
It. Yeah,
is there a personal website, too, that we can somehow get a hold of you?
Yes, I could be reached through that one, or I have a Crop Circle website, which is simple also to remember. It's www.cropcircleworld.com. I'll repeat that, cropcircleworld.com. And I believe you can order the book on that site also. And then for the rest of my services, psychotherapy, hypnosis, regression therapy, and so forth, I could be reached by www.barbaralammft.com. The MFT stands for Marriage and Family Therapist. So I'll repeat that again, www.barbaralammft.com.
Wonderful.
And you know, Carrie, it's exciting for me to be able to talk about both of these subjects together because I think there's such a connection between the extraterrestrials coming here and interacting with people.
Yeah.
And also the crop circle phenomenon, because the crop circles are very obviously made by some kind of wonderful creative intelligence.
Without a doubt. Yep.
Yeah. And so many of us researchers, even though we know that every year a few crop circles are made by people, but we also know that the really exceptional ones that are full of the plant changes and special energies, which you can measure and you can even feel, that they must be made by somebody other than humans.
And in a moment, you know, Barbara, I'm going to ask you about the most recent season, because I know you were fortunate to be in England this last summer.
Yes.
But for now, I want to let everyone know that they are listening to Carrie L's HeartLink on BBS Radio. And we are speaking to a wonderful woman who is an expert in a number of fields and crop circles, certainly one of them. And she is Barbara Lamb. And she's also a wonderful therapist. If you want to, Barbara, is there a phone number of how people could reach you? I know you do past life regressions and future regressions and so forth and so on.
That's true. Lots of different things and regular everyday life problems, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you want changes. Them to just email you, or do you have a phone number, or how would you want?
No, I prefer phone calls, actually. The phone number, daytime and evening and weekends, is 909-626-8333. 9092. So I'll just repeat that. 909-626-8332.
And wonderful.
If somebody did want to email, that email address is Barbara, and then the underscore line, then Lamb, L-A-M-B, at Verizon.net. So maybe I'll repeat that one again, too. Barbara, then the underscore line, then Lamb, L-A-M-B, at Verizon.net. But I will say that I definitely check my answering machine for my phone messages more frequently than I do my email. So that is more of a sure bet to reach me that
way.
Well,
I'm going to also give people a toll-free number in the United States where they can call to ask you questions if they have questions either about the crop circles or extraterrestrials or any of that. Here's the number. It's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. And you can find that number also on the website, bbsradio.com, or on my website, heartlinkinstitute.com. So that's a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to give out real quick the Canadian number, toll-free, and that is 888-815-9756. International number is 530-876-3222. Would love to hear from anyone who's interested in speaking with Barbara Lamb or myself, Carrie L. Quinley. And Barbara, we were about to go into this year's crop circle formation happened in England. Of course, we go to England because that is where it's most prolific. Why don't you let us know what happened this summer? Anything that noteworthy?
You know, it's so interesting, Carrie L., because every single year I say, having been there for 17 summers now, every year I say, oh, yes, it was another wonderful season. And I can say the same thing about the 2007 season. It was. And this one began earlier. Very often the crop circles do not begin to appear in the crop fields of England until sometime in May. But this year, unusually, the first crop circle appeared on April 15th, and it was in a beautiful field of oilseed canola. The English people call that crop rapeseed or canola. And that plant is the most beautiful, beautiful plant, long, dark green stems. And then at the top of the stem, each one, is a beautiful fluff of yellow blossoms, bright yellow blossoms. So when you see a whole field of this oilseed canola crop, it's just breathtaking anyway, with these beautiful yellow, thick blossoms on each stem. And also, when a crop circle is made in that particular crop, it's really amazing because those stalks, those dark green stalks, are very brittle. They're strong.
Kind of like celery.
Kind of like celery, yeah. And so if they were to be bent, if we tried to reach over and bend one over with our head, it would snap and break. But with these crop circles that are made by the genuine phenomenon, even these canola plants, they bend over just above ground level, and they do not crack, they do not bend. They just bend over, and they stay bent over, and they lie right along the ground, parallel with the ground, and they keep growing and ripening and coming to full maturity. So something clearly amazing is happening. And so that was the first one that appeared in Wiltshire County. And it just happened that that very same day, April 15th, I was there in England and I was giving a lecture about crop circles at a conference. The conference wasn't really nearby. It was about an hour's drive away down in Dorchester, in Dorset County. But there I was talking about crop circles the very day that this crop circle appeared. And that is worth mentioning because there does seem to be what I call an interactive link between the crop circle makers and human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And this may be just one example of that. In other words, the crop circle makers, whoever they are, whatever type of being or intelligence they are, they may have been aware that there was a conference going on in England that very day.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring crop circles.
Most likely.
And mm-hmm. they put that crop circle in the ground. I mean, and we didn't know that the crop circle had happened until a bit later, but maybe that evening somebody noticed it on the internet. But, you know, that sort of thing happens a lot, and that's one of the exciting things from my point of view. And
would you say that you've had some physical reactions or, you know, besides the spiritual reactions, obviously, that I'm hearing?
Oh, yes, yes.
What kind of effects do the circles have?
Well, it seems like each crop circle has its own particular pattern of energy, not only its own look, its own design, but it has its own frequency of energy. And with many of these crop circles, people can go in them and they feel something. Sometimes it feels like, oh, a very subtle kind of a buzzing feeling. Or sometimes it feels a little more tingly on your skin. Or sometimes it feels like a pressure or maybe a vibration. And so lots of times people just simply feel it by stepping into the crop circle. And then some of us use various kinds of instruments, too, that detect these energies. For instance, I always use dowsing rods so that when I'm walking through the field approaching a crop circle, my dowsing rods are just absolutely straight and parallel to each other. I'm holding one in each hand, and they're parallel to each other. And then as soon as I step into one of these real crop circles, the genuine crop circles, those dowsing rods just by themselves swing open. And when I get to the most energized spot in a crop circle, which is often the center of a swirl, but not always, at that most energized point, the dowsing rods open even further. So it's possible to walk around in a crop circle, and you get to places that are not quite as strongly energized, and the dowsing rods swing back slightly toward each other, and then walk a little bit further, and you get to a place that's more energized, and the dowsing rods swing more open, away from each other
mm-hmm.
again. And so that's one way of telling. And some
I can attest to that. And even my body, you know, was like the dowsing rod. I could feel the energies when I, you know, moved through the formation. And
yes.
Most sensitives are able to pick that up just through the body. But
well, that's right. And these energies that I'm talking about affect other things, too, like pendulums. Many people will go in and just hold a pendulum over a certain spot mm-hmm. in a crop circle, and it may start to swing around in one direction. And if they get to a place in the crop circle that's especially energized, that pendulum can swing around wildly. I mean, just really a big, wide, vigorous, fast swinging around. And the same energies we're talking about can affect other machines like magnetometers or electrostatic voltmeters that some people carry. Even microwave detectors can pick up the energy in a crop circle if the person with the microwave detector gets into the crop circle very soon after it has first appeared.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and you picked up on this in your book, about 1 year when, remember the Daily Mail had done an article on a crop circle that was actually a hoax formation?
Yes.
And they came into that, when we got there, we were real early that day. And you and I just knew that this was hoaxed. We
yes.
could feel it, and I could feel it.
We could see it too,
and we could see it. It was just obvious. But you know, a lot of people who it was their first time, had never been into a formation, had obviously thought, "Wow, this is great. This is real." And of course, they were interviewing those people and ignored the ones like you and me who really had told them, no, it's not real.
Yes, I
found that fascinating. And that I think that was 1999, but you had picked up on that in your book as well. So
good.
Yeah.
Yes, well, the British press tends to pretty consistently want to debunk the crop circles. I mean, there they are. You know, 50 or 100 of them, or sometimes more, happening in their fields every summer. But yet, the press, well, especially the national press, they do everything they can to sort of make fun of it and put it down and catch people, like what you're saying, catching certain people, newcomers, saying, oh, this is wonderful, it's mysterious, it must be a genuine one. And then they find out that it really was made by young men from the local area. But yes, you and I think, have developed enough expertise and experience in going into crop circles that when we feel no energy and when we see that the stalks have been broken because they've been stamped down by boards, by people, and they're laid down in a much more sort of crushed and messy way, well, that certainly gives us the clue that they must have been made by people.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting.
Now, over the years, however, the hoaxers have gotten very sophisticated. And I noticed the last time I was there that it was a very touch and go experience as to whether this was an authentic one or not. And what's your experience with that?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that is a challenge for us who research this consistently, that we have to really look at the details and we have to be aware of whether there's any change of energy or not. And just the look. And we actually spend a lot of time down on our hands and knees and even on our bellies.
It's been fun. It gets
a little scratchy sometimes. And we're down there that close to the crop because we're looking at the condition of the crops that have been laid over. And if they're all bent and broken and laid down in sort of a messier fashion, they're not all beautiful and parallel, and if we feel no energy in them, then we can conclude that even though that pattern looked nice from the air, a photograph taken from the air of it may look very nice, but close up in it, you can realize that, no, this must have been stomped down by people. So, but it really calls upon us to be very exacting and very discerning, because, as you say,
And unless I've actually been in a formation, it's almost like even though I speak to formations I haven't been into, I caution my audience. I say, I haven't been in this one, so I cannot guarantee that this is an authentic formation.
Yes. And
I always let people know that you're just going to have to use your own intuition as to how you feel about the formation. Because, you know, again, they've gotten sophisticated. Now, I wanted to ask you, I loved some of the ones are so fantastic this summer. And the butterfly formation, do you know which one that is?
Yes, in Oxfordshire. Yes, I'm looking at a picture of it right now. I wish all your listeners could see the picture.
Did you get a chance to go into that one?
No, I didn't. Mm. Unfortunately, I just missed it because it was harvested quite quickly after it was laid down. But I did have friends who did go into it. The reason I missed it is because I got food poisoning and I was just kind of wiped out for 2 days. But my friends did get to see it before it was harvested. And not only is it an exquisitely interesting and beautiful formation when you look at it from the air, but they said that it did have a wonderful energy and the plants had been bent over gently. And
wonderful.
And there were some blown nodes. I'd like to mention blown nodes.
Very much, yeah.
Nodes in a grain of a stalk, I should say, of wheat or any of the crops that crop circles are made in. A node is rather like a knuckle on a finger. There's kind of a little bulge every several inches in the stalk of each plant. And when there's been this 800 degrees that's been applied with sort of a special plasma of energy into the crop to make the crop circles, sometimes there is so much heat in the plants that the only way the plant can survive is to just like blowing out steam, blowing out heat through the nodes. So when you're in a crop circle and you see that there are what we call blown nodes, then you think, oh, okay, people could not possibly have created those blown nodes. That must have been done by that very intense high heat. So there were blown nodes found in this beautiful
wonderful
butterfly.
See, that's what I always love talking to you about, is you give me the feedback that I need.
Yeah.
So I can speak with some kind of authority of their authenticity.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't personally gone in. Now, that was July 16th in Oxfordshire.
Yes.
The information about these crop formations, by the way, for those who are listening, you can go to my website, heartlinkinstitute.com, and you can look on the left-hand menu where it says crop circles. Just press that link and choose the year that you want to go to, and the 2007 formations are the ones we're discussing right now. So
yes, great. I'm glad you're providing that for people. So they would want to look for the July 16th, 2007
correct
formation at a place called Haley Wood, that's H-A-I-L-E Wood, in Oxfordshire.
And it kind of, it looks like a butterfly. It's just, there's no mistaking. It's
yeah,
got the antennae and...
I know. And a beautiful geometric pattern. And this reminds me to say that one of the exceptionally wonderful things about crop circles is that the geometries in their patterns are so exquisite.
Yes.
And every year there are, oh, maybe four or five or more people in England and Holland and the U.S. and Germany who specialize in geometry anyway. So they spend the fall and winter and spring doing a geometrical analysis of the previous summer's crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratios, the proportions are just extraordinary. And
what's
so
the theme this year? Did you get pick up on anything specific about what they were trying to say, the message?
Well, some of them seem to have to do with the cycles of the sun or perhaps the cycles of the moon. And there was a beautiful, big, huge, long formation, one of the longest and biggest ever, that happened July 7th. And that was wonderful because you could look at the date as 07, 07, 07.
Mm-hmm.
And it appeared in well-known Eastfield, Alton Barnes, where crop circles seem to happen every year, and beautiful ones.
Is that the yin-yang symbol you're talking about? Or?
No, this one, it's more like the ohm symbol.
Ah, yeah.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I'm looking at a picture now,
mm-hmm,
and it's two big loops that sort of meet together at in the middle at one end. Each loop is a whole series of circles. At the outer part of the loop, they're very, very small circles, which are probably, oh, 3 feet of, in diameter, and then 4 feet, 5 feet, 6 feet, and they get bigger and bigger up toward the center of the arc, and that's the biggest circle, and then they get smaller, 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 down toward the other end. So there are two loops like that that are sort of almost as if they're holding hands.
And that was the East Field. Yeah.
At one of the midpoints of one of those two arcs of circles, there's another tangential, smaller arc of circles. And if you look at that pattern, well, let's say sideways, it's very, very similar to the OM,
yes.
O-M or A-U-M, some people, the universal sound.
How
many people around the world meditate with the sound of OM. And the crop circle that we're talking about might represent that, or as some interpreters say, it shows the sun cycle at that period of time in the summer. And so with any crop circle, there could be quite a number of different interpretations,
mm-hmm.
depending on the knowledge of the person and the
now, orientation. Were there blown notes? Or
pardon?
Did you see blown notes?
Yes, they did. I went into that probably, 3 weeks after it had appeared. And, of course, lots of people had been trampling through it. But even then, people said they had found blown notes. I did not see any 3 weeks later after so many people had been in it. But even then, there was a nice, strong energy throughout that whole crop circle. And then I went in again with a small group of people I guided. I do take a small group every year, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And with my group, there were six of us. We went in, and just when the field was being harvested, and that was very interesting because we went to some of those very, very small circles at the end of this arc of connecting circles and saw that the harvesters had already come and cut down the crop around those small circles. But you could still see the laid down crop that had been laid into those circles. And just the rubble, like a butch haircut sort of look, of the crop that had been cut down around it.
And the energy was still there?
The energy was still there. My dowsing rods were still responding. And so that means that that crop circle had been there at least 1 month at that point, and yet the energy was still strong.
Were you able to see the one that was at West Kennett Longborough, the perceptual shift, they called it?
Oh, yeah, that's a wonderful one I wanted to mention, too. No, that one was harvested almost right away. Maybe it had sat there for about a day. But this one, again, I wish your audience could see this. It's as if you're looking into an architectural structure. There, first of all, there's a circle. And then within the circle, there are these, rectangular shapes looking like stairs from one point of view and looking like black and white tile that you often see on a floor in certain buildings leading into
and those rectangles could be like pillars, I guess, if you were like walking down the checkerboard floor.
Yes, yes, they could toward the end, and it's done in beautiful perspective, you know, wider toward.
It definitely has a three-dimensional, like you're seeing a room as you're looking down the hallway.
Oh, yes, that's a good way to describe it. And
that was June 28th for people who've gone to my HeartLink Institute website.
Mm-hmm.
If they're looking at that picture, June 28th at West Kennett Longborough.
Yeah, the Longborough you're referring to is fascinating, too. It's one of those ancient megalithic sites there in Wiltshire, and it's a long, thin, or narrow barrow made on the inside. It's made of great megalithic stones, huge stones, taller than we are, that form a chamber and with big stones guarding it at the front end, but you can still walk in. And it's quite a distance. You can walk back in there. And then it was all, in ancient times, I think, covered over with earth, and now it's covered with earth and grass. But just not far at all, I mean, probably 30 feet away or so, I would guess, is or was this beautiful crop circle Carrie is mentioning.
And so often, I mean, that you all you have to do is return to the same fields every year practically, and you're gonna see a formation more or less.
Yes.
So often, yeah, these sacred sites are the focal point for the formations.
Yes, they do seem
was
to
this formation, did you get the energy to be, or you didn't go in this one, you said that they already harvested it.
Right.
Before. Do you have any feedback from others who may
well,
have...
Well, there was a wonderful one in Somerset County. Somerset doesn't always have crop circles, but occasionally it does. And this was on July 7th, 2007, and it's a circle, and the center part of it definitely looks like the yin-yang mandala, the union of opposites, beautifully, beautifully done with the light part and the dark part. And then around that, between that center portion and the edge of the circle, there are patterns that look very much like the I Ching. Mm. Patterns that you can find in that book called I Ching,
mm-hmm.
the Chinese Book of Changes.
They're hexagrams.
The hexagrams, yes. Yeah. So this, I mean, this is a very recognizable pattern. And that's true sometimes, that the crop circle patterns do definitely look like something we're already familiar with. And then many times there's a whole new pattern, and we never would have thought of that particular design. Two others I'd like to mention from this year, 2007. One of them is at a place called Martinsell Hill in Wiltshire, and it appeared July 19th. It's like a beautiful flower, or maybe like a sunburst of petals. It rather looks like looking down on a lotus flower. And it's very complex, lots and lots of these sort of lotus-shaped petals, as if they're radiating out from a center. And it's a very, very beautiful pattern, very beautifully done.
And the energies you definitely
good,
could pick up on.
Very good energies, yes. And then, so that was done July 19th, and then August 1st, so a bit later, in another field in Wiltshire, but a place near Aldbourne, there was another crop of circle that had a similar kind of look with these sort of triangular shapes, almost like petal shapes coming out from the center. But all around the exact center are cube shapes of the crop that was left standing. So very often these crop circles have some of the same design elements, and yet it comes out as a totally different pattern, like this one did. And
wonderful.
The second one I'm mentioning was...
We have a caller.
Sugar Hill. Okay.
I want you to finish what you're saying, but in a moment we'll take our call. What were you saying,
no,
Barbara?
This was at a place called Sugar Hill, and the cubes, which look like they're standing right up, and when you look at an aerial picture of this, it looks like they're just standing right up.
Three-dimensionally.
And, perfect cube shapes. So some people said, well, those are the sugar cubes in the Sugar
Hill. How nice.
Yeah.
Well, okay, and caller, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Anne, and I'm calling from Canada.
Okay, Anne, what question do you have for Barbara?
Well, it's a question for anybody who cares to answer, but I'm intrigued, in addition to this very fascinating conversation that I'm listening to, about Barbara's work in past life regression, as well as anything involving any sort of alien-type encounters. And my specific question is about implants.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anything you can comment about your experience or understanding.
Well, that's a wonderful question, and it's a very complex subject, too. I happen to be very fortunate that I was present at three of the surgical removal days that Dr. Roger Lear did, removing implants from people who had been experiencing extraterrestrial encounters. So I feel very convinced, having actually seen these implants surgically removed right there with my own eyes, I feel very convinced that some people who do experience extraterrestrial encounters are implanted with little, very, very small objects. And the objects seem to be a little bit different for each person, as if there's a different technology used by these different groups of the extraterrestrials. But they're very little, and we don't know exactly what they do, but many people who have implants do have a strong sense that the implant in them is for the other beings, the extraterrestrials, to sort of locate them, to keep track of them, maybe in a similar way that we do when we implant animals, migration animals and so forth, and we're studying them. So that's, I don't know.
And so it's like a monitoring device, you mean?
Yes, it might be. And with some people that I've worked with in regression, they feel that the implants are sometimes giving them information, like a little electronic device that gives them directions or sometimes gives them information or gives them notice that they're going to be coming that day or that evening. Sometimes they feel that they are being monitored, as you say, that they're being sort of listened to from afar.
Like it's a tracking system somehow there.
Yeah, like tracking or monitoring.
Caller, do you feel that you have an implant?
Well, I'm not sure. There's something there.
And yet I hear that you, there's some hesitation there.
Well, I'm not confident that there's something, and it's in front of my left ear, sort of in the fossa. And funny, I probably about 20 years ago, it was bugging me. It didn't hurt, but I knew it was there. I felt it when I was just scratching my ear, and it was bugging me for a while. I thought it might have been a cyst, and I went and had it X-rayed, and I honestly don't remember what they said, but they just said, well, just, you know, leave it alone. They were just very vague about it, which now, it just seems like, well, they didn't know what the heck it was.
Well, that's right, and I think that doctors understandably don't like to admit that they don't know.
Correct.
So they don't make too much of it.
Only just because there's just so many other things about my life, which really,
Have you had missing time?
Yeah. I've had a lot of things. You know,
well, you might want to email Barbara. She'll give her email again in a moment.
In fact, I pulled up the website while I was listening, and I wanted to ask if there was a more definitive way. I mean, I'm not concerned. I mean, I really don't have a gut feeling that I need to have.
Yeah, I wouldn't be concerned either.
No.
But quite honestly, again, I think we've got the sources monitoring us all in some fashion. So.
I honestly don't feel that, at least in my particular case, that it's necessarily something negative, just because of the way my life is.
I think that is so essential. Is to be aware that, you know, we're creators right now, and we get to choose. And depending on, obviously, the direction you go in, whether it's negative or positive, you can create that. And,
right.
And that's the point.
I often wonder why so many people want to get them taken out, or if people are encouraged to take them out just because people like Roger Lear want to know. You know, it sort of advances their own, you know, his own work in terms of what is it.
Well,
certainly
he has his own agenda.
Correct.
But I like you, I do not recommend having them taken out, quite honestly.
Really?
I would recommend that as well. And I do personally know a couple of those people who did have them removed. I knew them before the surgery and continue to know them after. And in both of those cases, the people felt somehow afterwards that it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And that they didn't know if they were being influenced by the extraterrestrials about that or what, but they just felt like it they shouldn't have done that. There was something wrong about doing it. And also, they kind of missed it in a way.
So like there was an amputation of a part of them.
And also, in the subsequent times, they were implanted again anyway.
See, you know, the universe provides. It's wonderful.
Right.
Well, I guess somebody, you know, it's that's quite interesting. Well, you know, if you definitely helped with my own curiosity about it. But, yeah, I mean, I guess I would just like to really, really know if it's something that some sort of biological anomaly or if it truly is an implant. I'd like to
know. Well, you know, what you can do is kind of go over your own history with this. And if you've had missing time and you've had, oh, maybe little memories or bleed-throughs of certain unusual things that you wouldn't remember from your regular waking life, you know, putting together little bits and pieces like that, I think that can
it's getting your attention too. You know, we're almost at the top of the hour, but I want to thank you, caller, for your call. You got us all thinking.
Okay. Yes. Well, thank you very much. It was a great great program.
Thank
great.
You.
Good night now.
And Barbara, I want to thank you. You are just phenomenal.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, we could keep on going. I'm sure
we could. Definitely.
Again, why don't you give your website?
Okay. Well, again, there are three of them, but the Crop Circle website is www.cropcircleworld.com.
And that's all the time we have.
Okay.
And thank you, Barbara. And you've been listening to Carrie L's HeartLink. And tune in. In 2 weeks, I'll be speaking to James Gilliland. And he is a wonderful spiritual teacher. And he's been communicating now for some time with extraterrestrials. So I'm looking forward to that.
He's fascinating.
And you are terrific, Barbara.